Hi, and welcome to another episode of China on the Rocks, the podcast where we talk about the China F&B industry and everything in between. My name is Logan, and we are in a kind of a special podcasting situation today because we don't have headphones. We're down to one mic, so I'm going to pass the mic over to, I'm going to drop the mic to my MC, Anna, over here.
Hi, guys. Anna here. Like Logan mentioned, our equipment is slowly dying, and we're left with one mic that we're passing around. But you know what we're also doing?
We're having shots, and today it's a mystery shot to Anna. Okay, Anna, what was it?
Was it Calvados? Yes. Oh, wow.
Ding, 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 ding. Winter chicken dinner. Yes, that was Calvados. Tell us a little bit about Calvados for those listening at home.
Calvados is a apple brandy, but it's made by this specific apple. It's like a very little apple that is not very juicy. And that's that's it. It's delicious, though. It tastes more like a brandy in general, but if you add a lot of dilution, like a soda water, or like even a tonic, you get a lot of apple flavor to it.
Yeah, I find Calvados really good in cocktails. It brings out a different flavor profile than you'd expect. Just a side note, do you guys remember seeing those bottles where they could have like a full-grown fruit inside of it? Like one of those ships in a wooden ships built in a bottle or something like that? I've seen Calvados and I've seen pear brandy like that with actually the pear built into the bottle. So they somehow grew it on a stem and bottled it. It's pretty cool.
Oh, wow. That is pretty cool. I don't think I've seen the apple inside, but that's cool. That's super
cool. Sorry. Yes, it's super cool. We'll have it'll be on our Instagram. So check that out. So Anna, as I generally comment on your appearance, what's going on today?
So guys, it's raining a lot this week. Okay, it's really, really rainy, like a heavy rain. And I slip and hit my head on a tree. I literally face planted on a tree and I, what would you call this? My whole forehead.
Well, it's a raspberry. It's definitely a raspberry. But we call that Prometheus syndrome, where you could fall anyway, but like you just keep going in a straight line when you could have gone to the left or the right.
Yeah, out of any other direction, I would have just fallen on the ground, but I fell exactly on the direction of the tree, and it's the only tree in my entire lane. It's the only obstacle in the road. There wasn't even cars there, just the tree, and I fell right on it. So, yes, I have a beautiful bloody face right now.
No, it's definitely a raspberry. It's not that bad, but when she walked in, it was like we said, it's been raining. Anna's been threatening plum rains now for the better part of like 18 podcasts, and now they finally arrived, and it's horrible. And I mean, Anna paid the price. It took a blood tax on Anna.
Yeah, I think every time I saw Logan, I'm like, the plum rains are coming. It was like Game of Thrones, like, the winter is coming. It was me with like the plum rings are coming. I was telling every time it rains for one day, I'll tell Logan, I think it's the plum rings. The plum rings, they're here. And yeah, I guess they had to punish me. But Logan, I hear you went to a party yesterday.
Yes, I went to a party yesterday. I know. Look at me get invited places. That cool. Our good friend Oscar threw an amazing surprise party for his husband Denny, and it was super fun. It was a 10-year anniversary of being in China. Super, super fun event. And it got us talking, and I think it's the topic of today. And so you notice there's not two mics, so I'm waiting for Anna to reply, then I realize I have to pass her the mic.
Yeah, we decided that we're going to invite a sound engineer / DJ friend this weekend to look over all of our equipment, because me and Logan feel very boomer in front of the computer trying to fix these problems. We don't know what's happening. All of the mics, they do work, but the computer refuses to listen to any of them. So it's only one working. Anyway, yes, so we were going to talk today about what happens when both chefs and bartenders get invited to house parties.
So it's really funny. Yesterday, I brought up this topic with my friend Oscar and a couple of the friends that were at the party. There's this really accomplished violinist, and she said the same thing happens to her that happens to bartenders. What is it that you may ask? Well, when a bartender goes to a house party, they'll often give you like a bunch of drinks over and they'll be like, hey, can you make something? And generally, I don't mind. It's kind of what I do for a living and it's kind of fun, right? But then there's always weird ingredients and you're trying off the cuff, make something cool up. I think the same thing happens as a chef. You're like, you go in the kitchen, you're like, oh, let me help you with this. You know, it just instinctively, that's what you know how to do. Anna was telling me a fun anecdote before we record it, where she was at a house party. And what did you do, Anna?
Yeah, like you just said, you go to a house party and they're like, oh, I have a bar. I have many spirits. You should make some cocktails. And then you open their bar or their cabinet and it's a mishmash of things that don't match. And then you open their fridge and they have a couple of juices, never citrus, but just a lot of random stuff. And you still have to make something because you already promised. You kind of start with the, oh, make us a drink. And then you open the fridge and you're like, oh. But I went to this house party and they wanted martinis, which is fine. We had gin. We didn't have vermouth. And then somebody said, I'll just make you dirty. I'm like, okay, we'll have a dirty martini. And then I opened the fridge and there is no olives, but they're pickles. So I decided to make a spicy pickled martini and it was okay. I'll call it okay. It was. I think that there's a room to create that recipe, but you probably need some a specific type of vermouth, some salt. But, you know, like there were some legs to it.
I can recall, just as you're telling that story, I was in first in St. Mark's Place. So in St. Mark's Place in New York City. And I went to this random house party. And lo and behold, who's there is my brother, Kevin, who's going to a house party as well. We both didn't realize we're going to see the same. I was going to see the sister and he was going to see the brother. And they were both having a house party. And so we went to this house party and everybody's like making drinks, but vodka sodas. And they were doing mojitos. And in my dumb mind, I was like, and they were blending drinks and nobody blends drinks. It's like such a 70s thing, but it was so cool. And like you're in New York City, you're hip, you're on a rooftop. There's like music you haven't heard. There's interesting people. So I ended up blending gin mojitos. Oh my God, we strained out everything. It was probably the best thing I've ever had. For a house party in the hot sun, it was so much fun.
Didn't the mint get very bitter?
You would think so, but the alcohol and all the sugar we put in it kind of balanced it out. And then you put a little soda water, and it was just really refreshing. And like it was a cool, fun thing. But we were talking like, what other professions go to a house party? And this is what we discussed last night. What other professions get asked questions? And it actually, at a house party, if you're a doctor, you know inevitably somebody's going to take you to the side room and say, hey, look at this thing. Like our friend Oscar made a very funny joke that I'm not going to say, but Oscar, I know what you said. But like, you know, if you're a violinist, they're going to ask you to play something. If you're an accountant, they're going to be like, oh, I filed taxes this year. What do you think about this? If you're a lawyer, they're going to ask you about a case. Like there's always something. So what professions, Anna, do you think? No. Yeah. What professions do you think people wouldn't ask you too many questions about?
Retail. What are you going to ask? Like the price of something? I mean, I think maybe retail or, yeah, what other jobs I can think? I feel like nurses would get the same. People would go to the side and ask, hey, what about this? Like, and take a look at this. What happens with this? But if there's a doctor in the room, they might be in the clear. I don't know. I don't know who else.
I mean, speaking of nurses and doctors, like Anna might not remember this podcast. She's fresh off a Memento head wound.
Yeah, Logan just keeps telling me it's good that I have insurance. And I don't think he looks that bad. But I did hit my head against a tree. So I guess maybe I'm concussed. We wouldn't know.
I'm looking at your eyes. You're not concussed that we know of. No, yeah, it's one of those things. I think like for things that you have to do at a party versus people asking about, like people would ask a doctor, oh, hey, check, this is my cough. Or a nurse, is this the rash or is this what? Like a violinist, hey, can you play something? A podcaster, they're not going to have you start podcasting. An architect, they might ask you about buildings, but that's something you don't have to like show off in the party. Magician, yeah, you're basically, you better be hired. A clown, a mortician, I think you're okay. I think you're okay with a mortician.
I feel like I have more questions for a mortician because you don't often meet them. If I'm in a party and there's a guy that's a mortician, I'm like, wait a second, I meet nurses and doctors and musicians all the time. I don't meet morticians every day. I'll have a lot of questions.
No, questions is not the thing. Questions is like, okay, that's normal in a party. You want to talk to people. I'm saying actual skills that you have to use. Like a chef is going to go there and cook. A bartender is going to bartend.
Well, it depends on what type of party. I'm just saying. If it's like a murder mystery party, the mortician might be the one showing all his skills.
I was going to say like an adult film star, but I mean, what kind of party are you going to? But like, I mean, I guess if you're a photographer, you're not going to be taking photos. You'll be talking about it. But like, because when I go to a house party, I don't mind making drinks. It is super fun and it's something I know how to do. And then I don't have to, like, I like to have a little bit of a barrier between myself and other people sometimes if I can physically do something. Like last night, I was at SIP and I was talking to the lead guitarist from The Pearl. It's a really good band called The Red Stars. It's a fantastic band. Check them out anytime you can. And the guy is pretty shy until he has the guitar in front of him. And he likes just that little bit of distance, and he just performs like a wonder king. He's amazing. So are you feeling like that? Anna, what's your status?
No, I definitely like that barrier, but also it's nice to go in a party and not have to entertain. And I think when we're making drinks, we're kind of like talking to everybody, entertaining, and we're right back at work. So I kind of like to be just a little wallflower at parties too.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know this about me, but I actually get like nervous. Not like social anxiety or anything, and I'll talk to everybody. But like, I'll talk to you for like a bee. I'll pollinate. I'll talk to you for like 5 minutes. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go over here now. But like, I noticed yesterday in all the photos that Oscar took, I was the one standing like right next to the bar. And Oscar even came up. He's like, oh, you have the best, you're sitting in the best area. And yeah, everybody was coming up and I'd have a quick conversation and then they could go their way and I'd still be at the bar just getting refills from my boy Ryan. And the funny thing is, so at a party, it's different. But like if you're at an event, right? I was like in the US, you would tip the guy money. Like put a, and he's like, even at a free flow? And I was like, yeah, even at a free flow bar, you would still give the bartender, you know, a nice tip. I think that's just a universal thing. Like he knows to hook you up first. Even though it's free, he knows to pour you for free first. I think Anna's got some Reddit she's pulling up with.
I was going to do a nice intro. I was going to say, on the subject, let's think about what some people on Reddit think about cocktails and drinks at parties.
Okay, let's have it. Let's also see, you guys like this Reddit format? Because I think for us, we're getting a goldmine of fun stuff. But I mean, if you guys think we could do other formats, let us know.
Yeah, I think it's a very good idol listening at home to some Reddit stories because you're so absurd and they're always good and, you know, we can discuss. So let's go. The first one that we have comes from MID Asshole, a subreddit. And the title is, Am I the Asshole for Making Cocktails? I know, very, very broad title. So I'll read. My 25 female brother, 28 male, just got engaged. They had a low-budget engagement party where they asked everyone to bring in alcohol of some type and they would provide the food. In addition to my alcoholic contribution, I brought a ton of mixers because I love cocktails. Everyone who brought alcohol placed it at the bar, and that's where I set up all my mixers too. I was having fun with some of my brothers and my mutual friends. They know I love cocktails, and they asked me to make them a drink. I saw someone brought bourbon, and so I started to make a bourbon iced tea. A guy walked over and snatched the bottle, which I was in the process of putting back on the bar. He snatched it away from me and said it was a sipping spirit, not for mixing. I thought he was incredibly rude and condescending. I only had one thing left to add to my drink, lemon juice. So I took my lemon half, squeezed it into my drink, and then sipped it and made a dramatic, sound that like the one you do when you drink something refreshing and says delicious. He stormed off with the bourbon. My soon-to-be sister-in-law saw and told him to put it back at the bar. He said he wouldn't because he wasn't going to let good liquor get disrespected. She said that then he needed to go buy something else to replace it. He called her a brat and then left with the bourbon. I later found out that that was her brother. I'm torn. Because I think that guy sucked, but I feel bad that my future sister-in-law didn't get to have her brother at her engagement party because I got all sarcastic with him over a stupid cocktail. And I confirmed that he did bring the bourbon, but I didn't tell people how to drink what I brought. So, am I the asshole?
I think the brother was just being... I'm sure, like, with siblings, too... Like you might be calling her a brat, being a little drama queen, but there might be just sibling rivalry going on. The guy wasn't a jerk at all, going. But like, who cares? Like, he wasn't doing anything wrong. The booze is on the table. It's there to enjoy. Like, if it's a bottle, even Pappy's or whatever, it doesn't matter. Enjoy it the way you want to enjoy it.
The discussion seems to be very similar, and people said that if it was such a high-end bourbon, he should have gifted as a gift to the sister instead of bringing and putting at the bar for everybody to consume. Because once you make the property basically free for all, people can drink however they like. Apparently, it was was a Van Winkle. It was expensive. So, yeah, I mean, I think I'm over this whole thing about disrespecting the spirit. I personally wouldn't, especially if it's a really nice bourbon or a really nice anything mixed with something. But to be honest, it's your drink, and if you enjoy it, you enjoy it. If somebody drinks, I don't know, Macallan 18 with Coke, that's their prerogative, right?
Yeah, I 100% agree. Like, that kind of thing, especially a wedding, you're supposed to be joyous, or a wedding party like that. You're supposed to be, you're supposed to have a good time. Like, if the guy wants to be a nerd and make cocktails, he can be a nerd and make cocktails, you know? More power to him.
Now, I don't know if it's my bartender arrogance. I found it was a little funny that she kept saying she was going to be like, I love cocktails. Everybody knows I love cocktails. So I saw a bottle of bourbon and I decided to make, I thought she was going to say old fashions or something. And this is like bourbon and iced tea. And I'm imagining like an Arizona tea and you're just mixing with bourbon. I don't know if I'll call that a cocktail, but sounds delicious.
I could see a lot of fedoras at this wedding party. I could see guys with instead of like vape pen holders, and like they're all talking about their vape units. Like, I mean, if she's making a bourbon iced tea, she's probably insufferable as well.
Yeah, I feel like it's a weird party, but like it's okay because she probably got like, I can visualize her, and I'm so sorry, I'm throwing shade today. I hit my head. Like, I mean, I just imagine her being obnoxiously like, I don't know. Like, oh my God, you guys, I love cocktails. Everyone knows I love cocktails. I brought all these mixers for cocktails, and they're really like supermarket mixers, like, you know, like sour mix or like iced tea, like, which nothing wrong with that. I just think it's funny that she probably was giving a lot of she's probably really talking it up to people about like how much she likes cocktails, how good she's at cocktails, and it's just like mixing bourbon with iced tea. I'm like, okay.
Kind of reminds me like, all my friends have always been bartenders, and we used to live together in New Mexico. We had like an apartment, and one was like a DJ that lived with us, and then two bartenders. And if it was really, really, really bad weather, kind of like it is today, like kind of like one of those storms from Neverending Story, blah, 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 I can't speak. Like one of those storms from Neverending Story when it's like the hard rain and everything. What we would do is we'd watch a bunch of movies, and we'd take bottles of like cheap champagne, like Veuve Clicquot or something, Country Time Lemonade, which is like a pink lemonade, Swedish Fish, and make a chimicham country pang, and just make a big bowl of like, it was so much fun. It was so dumb to drink, but like, it was a fun way to spend a day.
Okay, for our listeners in America, go to a CVS or something and get cucumber Gatorade and mix it with tequila. I'm not, I kid you not, was my America house party thing. I haven't been back in America for many years, so I'm not sure if it's still available, because some of those flavors, they kind of get discontinued, right? But up to like 5 years ago, it was still a thing. You just get that, squeeze some limes, add some tequila, lots of ice, and yeah, it's good. It's good. I recommend.
That actually sounds like fun. I didn't know there was a cucumber Gatorade. I would totally be all about that. It's got to be really refreshing. Like,
it is, and it's very, it's lime, cucumber lime, I think. It's also really nice if you add some cilantro to it. Like, it's a whole vibe. It's a whole, like, Mexican vibe, and the flavor of Gatorade is really good.
Rim it with, like, some tahini. It's a party. Okay, so what do you got next, Anna?
All right. So, for everybody listening, the agreement on the previous story is not the asshole. This one, I want to see what you think, because I disagree with the consensus. Okay? So here. Let's start with the title. It's also for Am I the Asshole? So, am I the asshole for serving non-alcoholic drinks to my family at a party and not telling them? Okay? It is important to note that my family tend to excessively drink when invited to events or parties, and things often get a bit chaotic. I'm 24 female and my partner, 26 male, have been together for 6 years. Early on in the relationship, my partner disclosed that he was in recovery after struggling with alcoholism during his teen years. It wasn't a big deal in our relationship as I don't really drink anyway and we don't keep any alcohol in the house. However, when we attended my cousin's wedding about 4 years ago, my family got extremely drunk and tried to pressure my partner into breaking his sobriety. I caused a small argument within the family and we left early, and that offended my cousin and her husband. 2 years ago, I got a huge promotion and we wanted to celebrate. But my husband felt uncomfortable with throwing a party due to the way my family behaves under the influence. So we decided to exclusively serve non-alcoholic drinks at the party. On the day of the party, we decided to pour the drinks into large pitchers and label them to avoid people reading the labels and we took out the trash and the bottles to make sure no one saw them. That's like an elaborate plan here. The party itself was quite tame. They drank the usual amount and kept making comments like, "Wow, I don't even feel tipsy," or "I can barely feel anything." We tried to sugar it off as, "Oh, maybe you really built a tolerance." After the party, we decided to continue to serve non-alcoholic drinks at all the parties we hosted. A few weeks ago, we had a dinner hosted by my grandparents, where again, my family tried to force alcohol on me and my partner all evening. He finally snapped and revealed, "You're all so much nicer when you're not drunk. Why do you think we keep serving you non-alcoholic drinks when you are at our parties?" The room fell silent for a second. Then all the questions started. We tried to explain our situation and why we don't serve alcohol, but my family were furious. We left shortly after, but my phone has been blowing up ever since. My family has now boycotted parties that we host and refused to accept any form of apology. I've told friends about the situation and the response has been very divided. Some are saying that it's not my place to force people to abstain from drinking alcohol. Others say it's my party and my rules. So, Reddit, am I the asshole?
I say it's your party, your rules. I mean, if somebody's a vegan, I'm not going to be offended because I'm not getting meat dishes at their party.
I agree with that. I don't think you're the asshole. You can do a party that's fully no alcohol and all that, and that's up to you. The part that it makes me a little is that they're not saying this is a alcohol-free drink. They are lying to them that it has alcohol. So they're like kind of deceiving them on the drink, and I feel like I would be weird because maybe I'm in this party and let's role play. We go to this party and everyone says that this is a margarita and I'm drinking five of them and I'm feeling nothing. I'll be weird out. And also, I don't know. I don't know how to feel if later I find out like, "Oh, I've been lying to you. You actually, every time you come over to our house and you ask for a margarita, I say yes and I give you like a non-alcoholic one." Because it almost feels like they are adults and they can make their decisions, right? So you tell the parents, "In my party, there's not going to be any alcohol," and they can choose to not go. They can choose to go and not drink, or they can choose to have water. Like, it's their choice, but they're given a choice. Right? Like, I don't know if it's too weird.
No, I feel you. Like, I mean, I would totally tell people, "Hey, we're non-alcoholic here. You know, if you want to go mix booze outside." But I feel like the family dynamic does change when they drink. And it's not fair to pressure somebody that doesn't drink. You know what I mean? It's not fair to pressure somebody that's not drinking to drink more. And as I say that, I notice that Anna hasn't finished her shot. Drink more, Anna. Drink more.
No. I'm not saying that you should be informed that the drinks are non-alcoholic, so you should bring a flask. I don't think it's that hard. I think it's, I can imagine if I went to a bar and I've been ordering margaritas, but the bartender has always been giving me non-alcoholic margaritas because he doesn't like how I behave. And therefore, when I order it, he's just like, sure. It's a little condescending, right? It's a bit like a child thing.
Only if he's charging you. If he's not charging you for them, then it doesn't matter. But that's a bar situation. It's a business. Like, that's just stealing if somebody does that to you. But a family situation, I feel like these people probably think drink a lot. Like, I certain families do drink a lot, and that's fair. But, you know, if the boyfriend doesn't feel comfortable, I mean, and he doesn't want to exclude himself from the parties, they've got to find a middle ground.
No, I agree, but they can set the boundary. They're like, "In our parties, there's no alcohol. You're not allowed to bring alcohol, and I'm not going to serve alcohol." That's okay. but I don't think you need to lie to them. They even went to the trouble of taking out the trash so they wouldn't see the labels. Like, this is like, they want the family to believe they're drinking alcohol. And I find that a little weird. You can just do a, it's kind of like, okay, if we go to a vegan or a vegetarian dinner, and instead of them telling us it's vegan and vegetarian, they tell you that everything is chicken. And it's okay. I'm not, it's okay that I don't eat meat. I don't have any, there's no like actual harm being done, but why not just tell me that it's vegetarian? Like, why go to the extra lie? And also, I know it's not the same, but it would be outrageous if it was the same thing the other way around. If I told everybody it's a dry party, but all the punches have alcohol.
No, I agree with you. But like, if it's a vegetarian thing and they said it was meat, you could tell. Like, without non-alcohol, I know, it's a strange one. I don't think they're the asshole. I think it could have been handled in a better way. I mean, I think the lady probably from the previous story was the one that got really mad. It's her cousins that she's inviting over because she loves making cocktails. And she got duped. But no, I feel like it could have been handled better, but I don't think, per se, that they were the asshole.
Agreed. I just think that, yeah, it's also family. We don't know how rowdy this family is, how wild they are. And yeah, the pressure is annoying, but you went at great lengths to like lie to them that there's alcohol. I think that that's the only part. But yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
I mean, there's a lot to unpack with it, with the family dynamic, but I could see, yeah, they're not. I don't feel it. What does Reddit say?
Reddit says, not the asshole. And I agree. I just don't think it's that clear of not an asshole. Like, I feel like there's a little, I think every time that, regardless if it's for their own good, you are lying to adult people able to make their own decisions, you're being a little bit of an asshole, because you are basically saying that your way is the right way, or your decision is the best decision, so they don't get to make a decision. Because maybe they don't want to come then. If they know, like, look, my house, no alcohol. It's never going to be any alcohol. There are boundaries here. If you're not happy, don't come. Then maybe, yeah, they won't come. And it's a choice, right? So, yeah.
I was just thinking, like, when you're at somebody's house, they have an open bar. It's a different story. But, like, last night, like I said, I was at an event with an open bar. And the host, Oscar, was so gracious to pay for everything. So, I know it's open bar and stuff. And I was limiting myself to wine. I had a couple bottles of red wine. No, I had a couple glasses of red wine. But I saw people were ordering vodka sodas, and I was like, shoot, I didn't know that was a possibility. But then I was like, you know, I feel conscious if it's somebody else's dime. How about yourself? Like, what do you order when you know somebody else is paying? Like, be it a dinner? Like, let's say, not if I take you to dinner or you take me to dinner, but like, let's say we go out with somebody, and he's like, I'm going to buy dinner for everybody. Do you change your order?
No, I might change... No, I don't think I would change necessarily. I think if I have a friend that I know is really well off, right? And he asks me, do you want to go for dinner? What do you want for dinner? Sure, maybe I'll choose a restaurant that normally I wouldn't just go share with a homie. But when I go there, I'm not going to then order oysters and caviar just to like stab the bill, right? So I would still order what I normally would order in that place. But maybe if I know it's a friend that's a bit like, lower in finances or struggling a little bit, then I would go somewhere much cheaper. Hey, let's go to a little Chinese noodle shop. So I think it's more like knowing your friend's comfort level. Same thing for alcohol at their houses. If I go to someone's house and they have money, they have really good whiskeys or something, I don't feel that bad drinking like a glass of one of their nicest whiskeys. If I go to a friend's house that I know it's like industry like us and all that, and they have that bottle, I wouldn't touch it. Because I know that for you, it's like the, not the value, is they might both value the same way, but I know it's a drop in the bucket for somebody can be something they're saving for a special day for somebody else, right? So I think it's just common sense, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very fair point. Like, if I go to dinner with somebody, like, I don't mind what people order. Like, if I'm treating, I don't really care what people order. Like, within reason. Like, don't go, yeah. Unless I'm going buck, and it's like, just, then I'll order for everybody. That's the one thing about China. Like, if you're going to go buck, you just order for the table. You know, then you know, you control exactly what you're spending. Like, I'll take two shrimp. Like, the other day, earlier this week, Anna and myself and a couple of our friends went to a barbecue place. And we ordered some expensive barbecue platters. I got a lot of food, but it was all like between seven people. It wasn't expensive, but we were the ones doing the ordering, and we went ham. Well, not literally. We went ribs. We went ribs on the whole thing. Okay, guys, by the sound of the blender, I think we have to kind of cut the podcast off today. We're operating with one mic, and one of the doors in the taco truck is broken. So, and Anna is going to bleed out. So we're going to have to call it a day at this one. I hope you guys can't hear the blender in the background. We're going to have AI cut out all the excess noise. But thank you for listening. Pictures will be on Instagram. Follow us at China OT Rocks. And we'll catch you on the next one. Cheers, guys.
Bye.